Yeah, that's what we do. Set them up, knock them down. Make that cherry glow. Whiskey and cigars, the gentleman's cologne.
Cheers, y'all.
Sounds like a party just about to begin.
Cut off a little bit at the beginning, but that's all right. It'll work. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this fine radio program, podcast, and video extravaganza known internationally as the world famous Smokin' and Toastin'. You have joined us for show number 372.
Now, if you do the math,
yeah,
that's halfway to 400.
Okay, good to know. I think we might need a little more mic on Ian. He sounds...
I'm very, very tiny today.
Yeah, you sound like a fraction of yourself.
A fraction. I'm like a third or a...
Yeah. Well, I want to point out that Ian brought me a candy bar today, and so I'm now going to have to refrain from saying anything negative about it during
I'm just
the
trying to make the workplace a little less toxic.
I like that.
you get that's 1 hour per candy bar.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
That's a double size, and there's
four pieces in there. So, yeah, that'll extend into next week's show. So welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Our show is all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars. We'll talk about all of those things, sample most of those things, and maybe even sample some cocktails, because our two guests who are joining us today, Mr. Will Brooks, the global brand ambassador for Herradura Tequila.
Thank you for having me.
Wait a second. We had you on the show before, and you were a brand ambassador. But I don't remember the word global being in the title. Is there something going on there?
Yeah, I just threw it in and no one noticed.
Okay. I'm the king of the world.
put that in with a raisin. We're good.
So if you are global now, as opposed to, were you regional before?
Yeah, I had the state of Texas before, and now we're kind of looking a little bigger picture.
So does this mean you'll be traveling to all sorts of foreign locales?
That's the hope. You know, we're going to really do a lot of heavy focus here in the U.S. first, but there's so many amazing countries that are enjoying tequila now, and we have an opportunity to share those stories with, so we're going to get out there.
And Herradura is one of those brands that is considered to be, you know, in the upper echelon, if you will, of tequilas. So we're excited about getting to sample some of that today. Also with us, and one of the reasons that cocktails will enter into the picture today, good friend of the show, Mr. Roberto Rivas Villar, who is not only here, but is one of our existing cocktail experts for the show.
Aww. So thank you for having me, guys.
You're like a mixmeister.
I love it. I love it here.
Mm-hmm. Mixmeister.
That's an interesting thing, because we also have Chris Morris, who's a cocktail expert.
Yeah.
And you guys are so very different.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's two way different sides of cocktails.
Oh, yeah. So fun. For example, all four of us have been able to talk on today's show so far. And if Chris Morris were here, there would have been a lot less from the other three, if you get what I'm saying. So anyway, welcome, Roberto. We are so glad to have you. Plus, I think Roberto has held a job for quite some time now. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, he's been at the same place for a while.
Okay, yeah. So he's got that over Chris Morris as well. But Chris is one of those guys who just likes to go on a...
This is how we talk about our friends, by the way. Right?
Chris is one of those guys who just likes to go on a mixologist tour. That's what he calls it. Just kind of hopping from place to place after. Yeah. No, we love to give him a hard time. He's a good friend.
That's very common in this industry.
Well, actually it is. And, you know, my background is in the radio business, and if you haven't been fired in radio, you haven't done radio. So it's just one of those things, like, oh, now I'm actually like tenured, you know. So anyway, welcome to the show. We're going to talk about, as I mentioned, lots of different things, including tequila and tequila cocktails, and we'll be talking a little bit about cigars, and I'll give you some cigars to watch for, and we'll also I thought this was interesting. We also have another entry in our ongoing series, Beers We Probably Didn't Need. So we'll share one of those with you. Share one of those with you before the program is up. We'll be tasting some beers, including from Wayfinder Beer Company, their premium pilsner called Laser Temple. which, cool name.
That is cool.
I like that.
It sounds like a festival.
If I'm going to go to a temple, I want it to be a laser temple.
That's right.
From 512 Brewing Company in Austin, Texas.
They make good stuff.
15th anniversary double IPA.
Oh, okay. We'll try that today.
Yeah. And from a place that is known, to me at least, only for super specialty type stuff. Hubbard's Cave Brewery in Niles, Illinois. We'll be trying their barrel-aged chocolate and raspberry pot de creme. It's an imperial stout. And it's a huge bomber.
I love it.
Like the size of a wine bottle bomber. So, yeah.
Gentlemen, we got some drinking to do.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get started. We do need to give you our teaser headline for the most popular segment on this program, which, again, why? We cannot explain. But our most popular segment comes later in the show. It's Drinking News. And today's Drinking News teaser headline is, what's in a name? So we'll get to that. And one of the things we like to do in the first segment of the show, because it's kind of fun, is to bring a beverage. One of us will bring a beverage.
Usually
alcoholic, sometimes not, but usually alcoholic. We'll bring a beverage that we pour and have everyone try and basically do a blind tasting on it. So people don't know what it is. We've done hard seltzers. We've done cocktails in a can. We've done all kinds of things. Actually found a cocktail in a can we sort of liked last week.
Yeah, that was unusual.
Which was a bit unusual. So today we have another mystery beverage. I brought this, but we changed the name last week or the week before, from Mystery Beverage to its new title.
The Beverage of Mystery.
So here is your beverage.
That sets the mood.
I feel like it does. So here is your beverage of mystery, you guys.
I feel like I'm going to get stabbed.
Can I just hear that one more time? Because I feel like it set the mood so well that before I sip or...
The Beverage of Mystery.
You know,
that string part in the background sounds a little bit like a drunken bee.
You know, here's what I like is that there's been a lot of crazy smells the Beverage of Mystery has brought. However, today, on the scariest day of Beverage of Mystery, it smells strawberry banana. Yeah,
it smells like a picnic.
It smells the way it looks like.
I will tell you, it smells a little strawberry and banana, but a little bit of sock, too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It smells like yogurt.
I feel like it does have a little strawberry yogurt.
Yes, it does have a little strawberry yogurt vibe in there. So, all right. Well, here we go, guys.
I'm not sure that I'm super keen on the smell, to be honest with you.
Boom.
I mean, I get the fruits in it, but there's something that's a little strange.
Oh, it is carbonated. I know what it is.
Is it fermenting?
It's from the sugar, yeah.
I don't even think it's carbonated. I think it's fermenting.
It's fermented, yeah. Well, yeah, the sugar is made because, you know, the carbon is CO2.
You get that almost sour little zing.
Mm-hmm.
The flavor is pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still strawberry banana.
It's very much like a smoothie, though, for sure.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, we've nailed the
it's
flavor
a meal about. And it's alcoholic.
Yeah. This has changed his life now.
You know, sometimes in the morning, I'll just go healthy wise and do a smoothie. If it has alcohol, does it still count?
Slim Fast for breakfast.
Yeah.
Slim Fast for lunch.
Slim Fast plus vodka. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. I like it. Mm.
Mm. Now, is this like some kind of kombucha thing? Or?
What do you think of this first? Do you like it?
You know, it's drinkable. It's weirdly drinkable.
Yeah.
I mean, it tastes way better than I thought it was going to be.
Will, you like this?
I'm on the fence.
Okay. Robert?
I like it. I'm on a little bit on the fence like Will. It's good. Would I drink a bottle or whatever it is of it? No.
Okay.
Or like whatever it is. Up for you guys.
Before we give our real opinion, did anyone's loved ones make this?
to be honest with
someone's
you,
loved ones probably did.
I'm going to say something that might scare you. I would not drink this floating down the river.
Whoa.
Okay, Terry, will you make a note of that? Because that, I believe, this is the first from a guy that would drink Malort floating down the river.
I have before.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm telling you. Well, one of the reasons we do the mystery beverage very early in the show is that because I usually, if I brought it in, which I did today, I usually stick the can or bottle in my pocket, and it's kind of uncomfortable. So I'm glad we're getting this underway.
I'm happy to see it.
So I can
big pockets,
unravel for you today's beverage of mystery. It is Smooge. S-M-O-O-J. That's
a terrible name. What?
That is a terrible name. You're right.
I'm going to get smooged.
Hang on. You want some smooge?
Terry, I think you got a little smooge on you there. Yeah. I'm sorry.
This show has barely started, and look what's happening.
I feel like Larry the Cable Guy when he's doing his act, and he says something offensive, and then he goes, "I'm sorry, bless the pygmies in Africa." Yeah. That's what I should say right now.
I love that in bold they had to put legit fruit.
Yeah. It is a smooge strawberry banana hard seltzer smoothie with, as he pointed out, legit fruit. And it's gluten-free and dairy-free. I'll pass that over to you, Ian.
So you can examine any gluten's
in on this, huh? Coming in at 5%.
Yep.
I can guarantee that carbonation, like we said, is part of the fermentation of it.
Yeah, because I don't think they've added carbonation.
I mean, it's coming in at 240 calories for one 12-ounce can.
Mm. Yeah, you almost got a meal there.
Yeah.
I mean, three of these, yeah.
Not to rush things along, but we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Does that give you time to tell us about anything you might have smoked?
Let's see how fast I can speak.
Okay.
Let's see. I did stop this morning over at Casa and had myself a cigar. You know what? I went with an old favorite that I realized I don't think I've ever reviewed. And if I did, it was so long ago.
One of your old favorites.
I got the Leaf by Oscar, the Leaf Maduro.
Ah, love the Oscar Valdez stuff.
Oscar Valdez is so good. I got the Toro. This was 6x52. Nicaraguan Jalapa binder. Wrapper. The binder is Honduras. The filler is Honduras. The appearance on this dark espresso brown wrapper, very oily. Some veins, single band, medium firmness overall with some softer spots. But let's talk about the pre-appearance. This is where this guitar comes wrapped in a leaf. The whole thing comes wrapped.
Did you say the guitar comes wrapped in a guitar?
Did I say guitar? These are things that I have in my life. Cigars, guitar, this cigar.
I wonder what your wife hears at night you say. Guitar, cigar.
This cigar.
It sounds like the first two words of an album title. It'd be cigars, guitars.
You guys listen to what I mean, not what I say. Okay,
Minotaurs.
So I don't have time to do this. But anyway, I'm going to do it anyway. So it comes wrapped in a big leaf that you take. Yeah, a big tobacco leaf that you take off. So it's kind of neat. The pre-light sniff on this, sweet coffee and chocolate, some tea leaves, some fermented hay is what I got off there. I used a V-cut for the pre-light draw. I got a medium draw out of it, sweet, creamy coffee, chocolate, fruit, and brown sugar is what I was tasting off of that. The initial light, sweet chocolate and pepper bomb with a honey graham cracker background. That's on the initial light. That is delicious, by the way.
Yeah.
Yep. Retro hay was peppery and sweet coffee. The first third of this. I got underlying fruity note is just floating underneath the prime notes of chocolate and pepper, followed by coffee and cedar. Earth and graham cracker flavors lay down the foundation. Retro Hill is pepper, cedar, and sweet coffee. Solid ash, perfect burn. Second third of this, vanilla bean makes an appearance and flows seamlessly into the palate. As a sweet counterpart to the pepper, the wrapper leaves a sweet woody note on the lips along with a pleasant tingle. Retro Hill is peppery and somewhere between cedar and oak with sweet coffee. Solid ash, perfect burn. The last third of this medium, pushing into full strength, yet sweet and almost creamy on the palate. Retro Hail is peppery, woody, and sweet. Solid ash, perfect burn. This cigar rocks. I gave it a solid 6, coming in at $10.50.
Nice. And by the way, may I say your reviews are, as the years have gone by on the show, have gotten more and more just poetically written. Mm. I like that.
I agree. Well,
thank you.
Whereas mine are kind of like cigar good.
I like cigars. Yeah.
It had some smoke when I lit it. All right, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back. I'll tell you about what I smoked this week, and then we'll get into some tasting here on the program, including our first beer from Wayfinder Beer Company in Portland, Oregon. It's a premium pilsner called Laser Temple, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Smoking and Toasting. Our show is all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars. By the way, final tally of the five of us, Terry, the engineering producer, was the one who said he would, in fact, drink more of the smooge strawberry banana seltzer. But honestly, it was better.
What is that? Every time you say smooge,
I know.
It's hilarious.
It was better than a lot of the mystery beverages have been, though. It didn't have that horrible, hard seltzer aftertaste.
I mean, it's drinkable. I don't know that I would choose to drink it, mm-hmm. but it's drinkable.
Maybe you could like
If you're into drinking smoothies and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I thought was fascinating about it, was it's smoothie-like.
Right,
you know?
And the first one we've tried like that for a hard seltzer, because usually they're, you know, like a carbonated beverage.
And it does.
I could start my day out like
directly
that.
On the can, for,
if you're on a camping trip and you need to get your breakfast and get him back messed up again, that's a perfect way to do it.
Good to know. Good to know. Well, let me tell you about the cigar that I tried this week that I wanted to share with you. I smoked the Ashton Symmetry Robusto. Ashton is a highly respected name in cigars, from their milder primary line to the pricier Ashton Cabinet and VSG lines. The name Symmetry alludes to balance, which in this case refers to the balance of Dominican and Nicaraguan tobacco in the filler. And I'm certainly not a cigar blender, but if I understand correctly, these two tobaccos are not necessarily that easy to blend. Honestly, I'm not sure if any tobaccos are easy to blend, but that's why my name is Cruz and not AJ Fernandez or Jose Pepin Garcia. But it's kind of like cars. I can't fix one to save my life, but I do enjoy driving them. Anyway, like most Ashton cigars, this one was blended and rolled using tobacco from the folks at Arturo Fuente, and they use an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper with binder from the Dominican Republic, and as I mentioned, the Dominican tobacco alongside Nicaraguan for the filler in the cigar. The pre-light notes were interesting: barnyard sweetness, leather, and spices, and I got a hint of clove on the pre-light sniff. I used my trusty punch cutter and fired the Symmetry up, and hello there! Welcome back, my old friend, the Nicaraguan Pepper Blast. Haven't had a cigar that has given me a legit NPB in a while. Once that settled down to a quiet roar, I was able to detect a few other notes around the pepper. Cedar balanced the pepper and was joined by spice and citrus zest. A creaminess developed as I smoked through the first third, along with a coffee note. By the second third, I got less of the coffee and more leather. The final third kept up the pepper, but the creamy notes and citrus kept things balanced very nicely, and the leather note continued. Pepper on the retrohale. I read an online review of the Symmetry where the reviewer complained about the burn, which surprised me a little because immaculate construction is one of the things that Fuente is known for. I had zero problems with mine, and it even corrected a crooked burn that I caused by not lighting it quite evenly enough at the very beginning. So I'd rate the strength at medium to full, and the smoking experience of the Ashton Symmetry Robusto is pretty enjoyable. But in the Robusto size, the Symmetry is a $14 to $16 cigar. At $8 or $9, this would be a $5 or maybe even more. But based on what you can smoke at that price range, the Symmetry is just overpriced. Mm-hmm. Based on that price to quality, I'll give it a 4.5, with that being a 10-point scale and 5 meaning you got exactly what you paid for. However, I will give it, and this is something new, a Cruz single stick recommendation, meaning that I enjoyed it enough that I'd still recommend trying one for the experience, even at that price. But will I be buying a $350 box of 25? Not anytime soon.
So I was looking up my old, I did this back in 2021, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a 4.5 for exact same reason.
That you enjoyed it, but it was
a great cigar.
Was overpriced. Yeah, I really did enjoy it too. But and then I looked in the first place that I looked up a price on it, because I didn't remember how much I had paid, was like $15.50 per cigar. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, we're definitely easing into super premium there, and I'm just not sure in a Robusto size if it was bigger, maybe. But anyway, there you go. That's our look at that. Now it's time to start drinking. In our next segment, we'll be trying some premium Pilsner, and I don't know how much tequila and cocktails we're going to try today. We haven't talked about it, but we might need to get started on those too. So we'll be right back. It's Smoking and Toasting. That was almost like a beer commercial when you popped that, Ian, because a little bit of the foam kind of flew from the top of the can, which they try to do that, I think, in beer commercials to make it look extra special, fun, and frothy. Welcome back. It's Smoking and Toasting, our program all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars. While Ian pours our first craft beer of the show, I will tell you that Gurkha Cigars has decided to do a celebrity cigar release. And so if you're Gurkha and you're known for some of your cigars being pretty good and others exploding on you like a Trick cigar and a
Bugs Bunny,
Laurel
Bugs
and Hardy. Yeah,
right. Yeah. You'd want to team up with somebody who's known for consistency and, you know, someone who is a real, you know, you'd want to team up with somebody like, who's the guy that does the narration for the Our Planet, so Richard Attenborough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you want somebody like that, like who just oozes credibility, right? Gurkha is teaming up with Mike Tyson.
I mean,
for a new cigar called Undisputed, and it will debut
Undisputed.
Now, summer. Yeah, now yeah. I want to hear him narrate Blue Planet.
Undisputed. Oh, would that be good? That would be awesome.
If a tiger.
So it'd be almost like the what do you call it? The my mind's drawing a blank. I'm sorry. The Badger, the honey badger, almost like the guy you're narrating the honey badger, thing. Yeah, but you know that would be great if AI continues to advance and develop the way that it has been. We will soon be able to go to ChatGPT and type in, "Have Mike Tyson narrate our planet part 2," and we'd be able to watch that, and that would be. I mean, you have a little bit of tequila and watch that.
Yeah.
That's an evening, my friend.
That's right.
Evening. So Ian has poured us.
You know Mike Tyson's going to fight again, right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I hear that.
Yeah, it's in a mirror, though, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's Jake Paul. He's challenged him, and they've made a big deal about it, and they're claiming that it's real. Who knows if they'll make it to doing it? But it's July 20th.
This beer smells about as classic beer as a beer gets.
Well, it's a premium pilsner, and Ian, tell us a little bit about what's on. Is there any information on the can we should be aware of?
There's a lot of information on this can, actually. So, premium pilsner from Wayfinder is out of Portland, Oregon. It says stalk us at Facebook and all that other stuff. I love that it says instructions: 1, open; 2, drink.
Oh, that's good.
It says it's mysteriously delicious lager beer brewed in Portland. And then it has this big long thing over here. What does it say? Join us at the glorious gates of Laser Temple, where you can revel in the delicate aromas of noble hops, leading you to an unbelievably crisp, transcendently refreshing elixir. Every sip is a precise foxtrot of Saz and Sterling hops that will lead you triumphantly raising your fists to the sky and loudly proclaiming, "God is praised. Oh, gods be praised."
Well, that was almost as eloquent as your cigar review.
So this can is a little wrinkled here.
Yeah, it makes it a little hard.
So I'm catching the light, and then all of a sudden I have to turn it a little bit.
Well, you know, the fact that it has steps on it to drinking goes to show with the Tiger Laser Temple that clearly this is just post-acid at the music festival.
Oh, totally.
And you need those instructions in case you forget.
Before Coachella went to hell, this would have been a number one attraction, right?
They also have a little chart on here with different glasses, different drinking vessels.
That's kind of cool.
And the Pilsner glass, of course, has a check mark on it. I will tell you
that on the nose, this smells like that wonderful smell when you walk into your favorite craft brewery. It's just got that beer smell.
It's classic beer smells. It's really, really nice too.
Yeah, it's got a lot of flavor up front, which is interesting because some lagers, you know, you get most of the flavor on the finish, that crisp sort of. But this has got a lot of flavor up front as well. In fact, it's about as flavorful a lager as I've had.
Green apple bite to the finish that really is interesting. Yeah.
It's like a very flavorful Heineken.
Yeah.
It's like if Heineken wasn't skunked.
And it's a little bit heavy on the hops, too.
It's that same style. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little bit heavy for a lager on the hops.
It kind of strikes me as this is the smell you don't want on your breath if you get stopped. You know what I mean?
This is really good, though.
It's really delicious.
It's better the more you drink it, too.
I agree.
Proposed pairing, I would say something on the lighter side cigar-wise.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really good, like a Reserva Real or...
right, because there's a lot of hop going on here.
Yeah, there's a lot of hop, but I think that the way the hop is, like if you have something with a Connecticut wrapper, I think it would actually blend nicely with it instead of fight.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Those creamy notes would work very well.
Yeah. Kind of dig that, I have to say.
I feel like if you had a bigger cigar like what I smoked earlier, it would kind of crush the front end of the...
I get it.
But yeah, that would be nice.
This strikes me as if you went to that brewery, this would be the, you'd want to order this as your first beer.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Just kind of get the palate going.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Get you started. And then try some of the other more
exotic
things.
Why do they even ask you, do you want 16 or 24 ounces? Come on.
It's like asking my wife, what size margarita, large or small?
Do I look like I've ever said the smaller portion, please? Yeah.
Speaking of my wife, by the way, I have to tell you, and it's perfect for the show because we're doing tequila. But my wife had lunch this weekend with our cocktail expert, Liliana, who said to tell all of us hi. And she awesome. Sent along some gifts for you and me, Ian. I totally forgot to bring it, but I'll bring it next week. It's
empty bottles. I love it when she sends me that.
Yeah.
I just see that like Cruz hand in.
The good news is that it won't be as heavy to carry when I bring it to you as it was in the beginning.
Liliana, I really like your gifts. They're always,
I mean, he said the bottle was for you, yes, not the liquid.
Right. That's right. No, I'll go ahead and tell you, it's Christmas ornaments. She gave us two
nice.
Christmas ornaments, one for last year's Christmas and one as an early gift for this year's Christmas. And they are the ones that are kind of made of one's made of metal, one's made of cloth, but one's a cigar that's very shiny and looks like New Orleans Mardi Gras cigar.
Nice.
And the other is a bottle of tequila to hang from your and it's one of those plushy ones. Like, it'll be the first thing the dog takes off your Christmas tree. For sure. So anyway, thank you, Liliana, and we love you, and we need to have you back on the show very soon. We always think of you when we're having tequila. Speaking of having tequila, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, Will, is at a company like Herradura, how often do you do something different? How often, you know, your main line's a, you know, one of the best sellers that there is. People are very, if they're into tequila, they're probably very accustomed to what you do. They know what they're going to get. But I think these two bottles you brought us today are special bottles. Is that right?
So we've done two things here. That's a great question, Cruz, because we have our classic OG Reposado and mm-hmm. then a double barrel, which comes from a singular batch as well. So
and
two
it's
different
a Reposado as well.
And it's a Reposado as well. Okay. And the reason why we're doing that is because we're really excited. This year is the 50th anniversary of Casa Herradura inventing the Reposado category. So this bottle right here is the world's very first Reposado.
Okay, the very first.
Very first.
All right, so explain for people who might not know the difference between a Blanco, a Reposado, and an Añejo.
Yeah, so it's all about aging. When you hit a two-month mark, you've got yourself a Reposado. When you hit the year mark, you're now an Añejo. So as long as you keep it within those age ranges, you can call it that style. So
right.
2 months is the 2 to 4 months is the industry standard. This is 11. And this is because
so it's almost an Añejo.
It is in the sense that of time. But mm-hmm. what's so special about this distillery is the way they utilize their barrels allows them to age really long while still maintaining a lot of agave flavor. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to see that this is how it was originally. This is the OG. A lot of brands brought it down to 2 to 4 months, but we said, nope, this is the juice right here.
So let me ask you this, because tequila, and this isn't going to be right the way I say it, but hopefully you know what I mean. Tequila seems to age faster than a lot of other spirits. Like, for example, if we were talking bourbon, mm-hmm. we wouldn't be getting
Seven
all that excited
years,
about
years,
a 1 year, right?
Yeah.
But in the case of tequila, you know, you've got under a year and then over a year for Añejo. And it just seems to me that whatever the process of aging is that infuses the different flavors and stuff that are created seems to happen a lot faster with tequila than it does with some other spirits. Why is that?
So two main reasons. One, this is not a grain-based spirit, right? It's from the agave plant. It's such a unique flavor that you get from this plant mm-hmm. that it's important not to hide it. And that's part of what we can't. You can do that with grains. No one drinks unaged whiskey, really, for the most part, because it's just not ideal.
So, it's a little rough.
Yes. Except for my grandpa.
There you go. So, yeah, that's part one. Part two is because we're really, think about Mexico's climate. So things that, when you're in warmer temperatures, aging is going to be a lot more rapid.
Sure.
So a lot of times we're like, oh, I want a 20-year scotch. But in reality, a 20-year scotch could be arguably very similar aging to maybe something 6 years out of Kentucky.
Yeah. Right.
And then you can keep doing that
because
back.
Of the climate in Scotland.
Of course. Yeah.
This is all very interesting. Now, I have a tendency to be an Añejo guy. I just love the flavors, the vanilla, the maple, the things that come in. What are the characteristics of a really good Reposado? What flavors are we likely to find?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I love basing it off of how it all began. And this is so buttery. That's what I love. I look for butter, notes of just a little bit of caramel, maybe touch of vanilla. And you want that oak to almost just mingle with the agave, opposed to being oak, agave, oak. You want them to kind of play together. So if they blend and you get a little of that butteriness too, a bit of cracked pepper, that's all I look for.
There's almost a little touch of like a honey note that I get.
Well, there is. I was just noting that this is like on the nose, this does not in any way resemble like a Cuervo Gold or like a Shot of Patron Silver or something like that, which is just very, very agave. The Cuervo Gold, don't even bother. Patron Silver is fine. But the notes you're getting on the nose are more aged, mature type notes. The butter that you mentioned, and I can even pick up a little bit of vanilla.
Let me tell you, when you taste it, it's not like Cuervo or Patron either.
I know I don't have to say this to anyone in the room, but if you're watching this, do not take this Herradura Reposado and shoot it. Yeah. Please,
no,
don't do that.
No
salt or lime has been harmed during the filming of this.
Yeah, that's right.
And, wow.
And no need. Unless Roberto harmed a lime in the cocktail. I don't know. Maybe you did.
Well, that's a different story. Sir.
Okay. I harmed the heck out of limes and cocktails, that's for sure. So
this is so good. Like the butteriness that you're talking about, there's a kiss of that that honey that I got on the nose. There's this vanilla overall profile, and the pepper is so good. It's a creamy kind of pepper.
It doesn't blow you out, though. You know that?
Right. No, it's not. It's not like that. It's such a nice flavor.
Like I remember when I was working in L.A. for a month, and I was at the drugstore, and they had bottles of, I think it was Sauza, maybe. It was their añejo. And it was like something like $20. So I bought one, and that was my tequila for the month. And it was good, but it was very peppery. Yeah. It was like almost all pepper. This has got the pepper, but it doesn't dominate.
It tames down. Like you get the pepper, and then it's like a little blast, and then it like tames itself down, and then it's nice.
If you're from the South, it's like having a good pepper cream gravy.
Ooh, I know what you're talking about.
Interesting. I like the way. Yeah, you know, I've never thought about that. That's
because like if you have one that's too peppery and it's burning you a little bit, it's not good. It's too much.
Right.
But when it's done right, there's a little kick of the pepper, but it's the right amount. It just lingers. Like this just lingers
over biscuits and
sausage.
And
then there's sweet notes. Like as you just let it sit in your palate, there's sweet notes that just kind of come back and hang out. There's almost no heat.
And I would describe this, being a guy that I drink mostly añejos, and I would describe it as being a lot like the añejos that I really favor, but the agave is much more prominent in this. It's like those flavors, but still holding on to some of the agave. And if you drink a good Blanco, it's almost all agave.
Yeah.
Whereas this is a really nice example of something in between the two.
Right. So
there's a kiss of that oak astringency on the very end of it as well that leaves you just kind of wanting that next sip.
That the mouthfeel is really nice too. It has a very, very nice viscosity.
So when you say this is your OG Reposado, you can find this everywhere, right?
Yeah, you'll find this everywhere. And because of this year being the 50th anniversary, we are going to be launching in very small batch and very limited supply in places a homage to this creation.
Nice.
We're going to be bringing out original bottle, a new juice that will be limited time only. It will be a Reposado as well. And it's going to be a great way to just taste your way through the history of this incredible spirit.
Oh, see, I love that. To me, those kind of things where you can do the side by sides, or you can do a flight and you can taste your way through, like you said, to me, that's fascinating. And that was how it was at one of those kind of events that I discovered, oh, tequila would go great with cigars, you know,
because I was tasting. First thought.
Yeah.
Tequila good.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my review. Tequila good. but this is great. What does a bottle of this cost at retail?
Yeah, it's going to depend on what market and state you're in, but you're looking at the high 30s.
Right.
So
that's outrageous for something this good.
Yeah, like, I know.
Yeah. $40, if you just average it out to $40, this is outrageously good.
If you think about, you know, what you would spend on a lot of the añejos that I like. Yeah. And now they're all creeping up towards like $100 these days.
Yeah, I mean, even when this does hit around that, in some markets where it hits those lower 40s, still, wow.
Yeah.
And we have all really those, you have all those really bad celebrity brands that are even more expensive that are not even.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The Mike Tyson tequila. I wonder what that would cost.
A punch in the face.
Tequila. All right. We are going to take a break, and we will be right back. More tasting, more comedy jokes. It's that's a Steve Martin line. More comedy jokes. We'll be right back. It's Smoking and Toasting. Welcome back. Those are some of my favorite sounds in the world. I absolutely love it. Welcome back. It's Smoking and Toasting. Our show is all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars. We're going to talk craft beer in this segment.
I love those things.
Specifically, a craft beer that we're trying for the first time from the 512 Brewery, which is one of my favorite Austin, Texas
512. Breweries. I've got their double pecan porter in my fridge.
That is one of the greatest porters ever. Yeah. And I really like their IPA, even though it is very much a West Coast, like the kind, the sort of style Ian sort of shies away from, I think, when it comes to IPAs. But they just make it so good. It's kind of like one of the Stone IPAs. It's just, it's very hoppy. It's almost in your face hoppy, but it's well balanced at the same time. So, are you actually patting the end of the can to get the rest of the beer out?
Good
Does
boy.
That work?
It just gives you more.
Why wouldn't it?
It smells like the can looks.
Well, the can is very yellow. Yeah. And I know we've got B-roll on this, but maybe you can show that to the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
It's got the VW microbus with the 512 on the front and the three kegs on top. See, normally you would see three surfboards on top.
Right. And 11 hippies inside.
But since it's 512, there's really nowhere to surf in Austin.
This is true. You can go to the lake and try it, but it doesn't usually work out too well.
Not so much. Not so much. 15th anniversary. Double India Pale Ale, American IPA, dry hopped with Mackinac, Simcoe, and Mosaic. Oh,
nice. So they're using some very like interesting hops. Those are not, it's not just Citra, which is used, so much, which I like. But
Mosaic is my favorite style of hop.
Yeah. Mosaic is a little bit of a chameleon though, because it can have different like flavors depending on
What else you use with it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Roberto, I forget. How are you on IPAs? Are you an IPA guy?
I love IPAs. Yeah. I specifically like a little bit more the hazy, citrusy, juicy ones.
That's where I lean as well. Oh. So, but
did you try this?
I'm about to. I did give it this, the nose.
I mean, 512 is crushing it right now.
Mm. Oh yeah,
this is outrageously good.
Really good.
It is very nice.
This is as good a balanced IPA that I think I've had in a long time.
It's not. Like, it doesn't lean too heavy towards the juicy side, although you can get some citrus in there, but it's just...
Yeah, it's not over the top with that.
It's just kind of balanced.
I love the finish on this.
Yes.
I love the primary flavors right up front. I love the middle of the palate on this. There's not much about this that I don't
definitely
love.
Definitely getting pineapple.
Mm-hmm. It even brings some butterscotch end to it.
Yep, absolutely. And it's... I don't know. I just keep going back to the word balanced. It's like kind of halfway in between a West Coast and a hazy. Mm-hmm. So it's... That's awesome.
Do you remember when you had to do the pyramid, the food pyramid, and you had to balance your diet?
Yeah.
That's the beer equivalent.
Balance right on
beer
top.
Pyramid. Right, I like it. So I think we should come up with one and like sell t-shirts with the beer pyramid.
The beer pyramid. Yeah.
You know what it reminds me a lot? Like whenever you have those butter candies that are wrapped in the yellow.
Butterscotch candies?
Yeah. Well, not that one, but the yellow one from Bragg's that is just like a yellow transparent.
Okay. You know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
This is coming in at 8%.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even remotely feel like
it. Doesn't at all. No. It feels more like a sort of a regular, 4.5, 5.5 IPA.
Yep. And then you wait 20 minutes and then finish the can. And then you're like, oh, it is 8%.
So now you understand.
I've only had three.
Yeah. So now you understand why they sell them in the taller cans, I think, in a 4-pack. So I bought a single on this one. But
man, this is, I will be picking up some of this. This is so good.
Mm. You know what? Which one I'm still hooked on that I love? And we got one. We drank another one, and we won more the Pistachio Brothers.
Oh yeah.
I bought a couple of those myself. Those are fantastic. That prairie.
And honestly, I have to tell you, before we opened that and drank it, I had serious doubts. Like, pistachio, really? I don't know. I love pistachios, but I don't know how that's going to work in a stout.
Literally one of the better beers we've had on this show.
It's really, really outstanding. You know, we've kind of been on a roll. You know, we don't always love every beer that we try on the show. We've kind of been on a roll lately. We've just it has turned out we've liked some things. And let me just show you what you will have a chance to either like or not like a little bit later in the show.
Oh, this is the teaser.
Look at this. It's like a champagne bottle.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
That's from Hubbard's Cave. And it is a barrel-aged chocolate and raspberry pot de creme.
To back the camera up to get the B-roll on
in
that.
A bottle like that that wasn't fantastic.
I don't think we have the crystal glassware worthy of pouring.
We do have... Well, we'll see what we can come up with. But yes, I understand what you're saying. So we have that to look forward to. And we also have another tequila we're going to be trying from Herradura. What is this other one that we're going to get to in one of the next segments?
So whenever you make a tequila, you're going to mingle barrels. Not here. This is going to be one batch through process.
I like it. A single barrel tequila.
So just to make the distinction, it's not a blended tequila if you're mingling barrels from within the same company.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're going to blend stuff outside the company, that's blended. But a single barrel is literally what it says.
Isn't blended with any other barrels in the company. All right. I'm looking forward to that. We'll be right back at Smoking and Toasting. Thank you for listening. Welcome back, my friends. It's Smoking and Toasting. Our program is all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars.
We're
going to get some fine spirits here in just a moment. But what do you do when two companies that you really, really like get together and collaborate, but I'm pretty sure they shouldn't have?
Oh, no. Mm.
So one of my favorite beer lines is the Voodoo Ranger line.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And in fact, they have so many excellent, crazy IPAs. One of my favorite things to do is to buy that mixed 12-pack where you get to sample several different kinds. I love how they've been creative and inventive and used, you know, different. In fact, one of their IPAs is just the experimental IPA, and so it changes all the time. Love that. And then when it comes to frozen pizza, which admittedly is not as good as getting a pizza from
your
pizzeria.
I know where you're going with this.
Frozen pizza, for me, I'm all about Tombstone.
I know where you're going
with
this.
I love Tombstone pizza.
There's a place in my heart, and sometimes it's the right thing at the right time, but it's Totino's Pizza.
Well, yeah. You know when that time is for me? When I want to remember being in college and having $2 to my name.
And that would get you three pizzas.
So you're doing this often then, right? Yeah.
So every now and then, out of nostalgia, yes. No, but in terms of frozen pizza, I just, Tombstone's my favorite. I've not had another one that I think brings the flavor home.
I don't frozen pizza very often at all.
I don't do that often, but sometimes, you know, my wife is away and it's up to me to cook, and that's what happens.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So,
frozen pizza.
Having said this, I love Tombstone frozen pizza, and I absolutely love Voodoo Ranger. I do not feel that their current collaboration project.
I didn't know they were collabing.
Yeah, I just don't feel like.
If you ate them together, wouldn't you love to have that flavor in your mouth all the time?
Yeah, I love eating a Tombstone pepperoni and sausage pizza or the four meat pizza and washing it down with a really good IPA from Voodoo Ranger.
Well, you know, it's you don't have an oven. You can't eat salt.
Okay. I'm hearing you.
You can't eat salt.
Listen, you started out with one of these smoothies breakfast. Yeah, what are you going to do for lunch?
Exactly.
I think the smooge is kicking in. That's why we're at. The frozen pizza giant Tombstone and the ubiquitous craft beer brand Voodoo Ranger have created a new brew dubbed, and it gets worse, by the way, because of what they're calling it.
It gets worse.
Pizza A. It is, in fact, a pizza-flavored Voodoo Ranger beer.
Cigar good, iPizza A.
Yeah. iPizza A.
Review done.
Yeah, we're done here. Thank you. Have a great week. Love you, Justin. Yeah, I just... I mean,
wow.
At some point, I will track one of these down
It's supposed to come out pretty soon, right?
And it, yep, and it will be a mystery beverage here on the
I'm going to point out that that does not seem quite as, what's the word I'm looking for?
It smells like pizza.
It'll be available, by the way, April 7th, National Beer Day.
It's not as cromulent. I'm going to use that word.
That's good. You're really going on a vocabulary tear on this show.
I could have said cowapidges, but I left that one off. it's not as cremulent as something like the Yingling Porter with Hershey's.
No, see, that making feels like Hershey's it goes together. Yeah.
Porter.
Right, because Yingling. Chocolate and porter are related tastes.
I mean, pizza and beer do go well together.
They do.
I'm just not sure about pizza beer.
And beer flavored combos.
You're gonna want to find this at your store when it comes out on April 7th, because the can, you know how Voodoo Ranger has that, you know, like the wild character. Skeleton character. Yeah, yeah. In this one, he's got a chef's hat on and he's holding a pizza.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
You should use that hat to make a frozen pizza.
Which seems not very Voodoo Ranger-y of him, but that's, that. Yeah, that's, you know, even Voodoo Ranger has to Netflix and chill sometimes, so. Yeah.
Voodoo Ranger is now jumping the shark. You know,
I can't say anything about this myself, because most of the stuff that I do and I create is like,
you've done some pretty outlandish things.
And I'm very quiet right now because what you're gonna try today.
Talking about the cocktail.
Is that a pizza over there?
The show might end up early. Like, end early. I don't know.
Well, let me just say
he's
this.
He's created milk of pizza.
There's one more thing that I have
and
to say
added
about
its essence.
One more thing that I have to tell you about the iPizza A.
Jeez. Between Smooge and iPizza A today.
Yeah. It comes out on April 7th. In four packs of the tall cans. $50 per four pack.
Whoa!
Hell no.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Why? How much does it cost to stuff a $10 pizza inside a beer?
Well,
that's
I guess. So officials at the companies offered no explanation in their promotional materials. However, they did reveal that the limited edition brew clocks in at 7% ABV and features, and I'm quoting here, the flavors of a Tombstone crispy crust, tangy tomato sauce, and savory herbs and spices.
I love that the price point of this is out of the range of the Tombstone Pizza Eater.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, what are they thinking? Yeah.
Tombstone Pizza costs like $6.99,
yes,
I think. So.
Yes.
The people that could relate to this won't have the budget for it.
The people that
want it. What do you want on your Tombstone?
They also,
honey, would you rather get the Dom Perignon or the Voodoo Ranger Pizza?
Yeah, well, maybe the pizza beer, because they say it also boasts a, quote, finishing pepperoni kick of heat, end quote. Yeah. Let's,
you know what sounds really good about that?
What?
Nothing.
Let's make a beer for the everyman and now, then price it out of his range.
Exactly.
That's exactly. Ridiculous.
That's called Volkswagen.
All right.
Anyway, let's...
it's called Volkswagen.
I say that. I will try it.
Yeah?
I will try it. We'll see.
All right. I'll go in on a four-pack with you.
I feel like we should be the four of us, whenever it happens, we should retry it together.
Right, we should get together, and we'll just do it on the show. We'll have you both back on the show, and we'll try pizza flavor.
Can't you think that people aren't wanting to throw away $50 on, I want to try it?
Strawberry banana smooge for breakfast, right? To kick you off.
And you end your day.
Pizza for lunch.
Yeah.
A Voodoo Ranger pizza for lunch. What are we doing about dinner here now?
I'll keep working on it.
I'll take care of that.
That's a show. All right. We better talk to Keely here.
Meal
because,
in a can.
This smells even butterier.
There's a problem with this tequila, I have to say. It really has trouble staying in my glass. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with it, but it's really having problem doing that.
This is very buttery.
Like the butteriness that you mentioned in the first one, you know, I remember I said it was a little, almost a honey-like thing. This doesn't have you lose a little bit of honey, but the butteriness is so smooth. And
this
sweetness
really drinks like an añejo.
What's
to
the
me.
Difference?
Got that.
There's almost a
aged quality,
almost a banana like sweetness to the nose on it.
So this is again the double barrel reposado.
Yep.
And how widely is this available?
So this is what's so cool about this product. We talked about this earlier, right? You mingle your barrels together to get consistent flavor. Mm-hmm. So you make your Nepo, this classic, we mingle the barrels. Here, you take one barrel, 11 months, just like this. Mm-hmm. But then we take everything from that singular barrel and put it in a brand new barrel for an additional month.
Okay.
So now it's a double barrel, but it's still that singular batch of liquid.
So what is the changing from one barrel to the other? What does that do? Is it infused differently?
It's going to bring some new flavors because we have to remember our barrels have had like stuff in it before. So typically we get some used whiskey barrels, right? And we're going to put that's how you're going to age your tequila. It's almost all tequilas aged in a formerly used barrel. Now we take a brand new barrel. All that goodness is in there. All these different flavors.
Maybe
in
a
there.
Little more potent,
like,
right?
Like big oakiness and
for sure
and more vanilla. Mm.
More vanilla.
That's what I was saying. The new
barrel.
More
so vanilla. You put it in a brand new barrel at the end for that last month?
Just for, yeah. And we go 1 month longer than the classic, and it's going to spend that time in a brand
There's
new barrel.
There's a caramel or even a burnt sugar kind of finish to it. It's so good.
I can totally see that coming from the new second barrel, the vanilla, the caramel.
You'll see so many tannins too. I get a lot. Right up here at the front of the palate, after you take a sip and swallow, right up here in the front, you get that slight like new oak astringency. That's
Which
right
is the tannins from the oak. I can I feel them right now in my tongue, like the tannins.
It almost
there.
Feels like you just took a sip of a really dry wine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it leaves your mouth with that same.
So
kind of feel.
So many of the flavors that. Are the reason I love añejos are present in this Reposado.
Yeah.
I love that it's also unapologetically pepper.
Yes.
But again, the pepper is not like a bludgeon. It's a beautiful flavor.
It's amazing the way the pepper is there, but then it just kind of settles on your tongue so nicely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny you use that word because we always say at the distillery we're unapologetically bold in everything that we make. This is not vodka. This is meant to be flavor. Here we go.
Yeah, right, it's not about absorbing the flavors of the other things that are in the cocktail. It's about sort of leading those flavors.
And to answer your question earlier, Cruz, there's it's hard to get this because you have to buy it by the barrel.
Okay, so a store or a chain of stores would have to buy a barrel.
Oh, wow.
Just buy a hand-selected barrel from a particular location.
You can buy one.
And yeah, let's get a
barrel.
You
can do it yourself, too.
Smoking and toasting barrel.
Then what we'll do is we'll take you down to the distillery. You'll try a selection of different barrels, see what you love, and you can pick that flavor, and you can buy that barrel, and we'll bottle it for you.
How different are different barrels of this same juice going
to
be?
So different. So different. Yeah.
It's like whiskey. Like the same thing when you go to bourbon and they get a single barrel. And that's literally, that's why I love this a lot. And whenever it comes to bourbon, I know there's a whole culture and the average Joe that likes consistency. I like tasting every time a difference.
I celebrate the differences. I love it.
So, and this is an interesting question for me because with this being all from a single barrel, and yet you take something like your regular OG Reposado, and there your goal is for that to be consistent. If I bought a bottle of that 6 months ago, and I buy another one tomorrow, you want me to be greeted with the same flavor, which means it's someone's job at the distillery to blend different tequilas.
All the barrels within the distillery.
Right, in such a way as to recreate that exact, what a cool.
Pretty incredible.
Imagine?
What a cool job that is.
Distilleries, literally, they have a master blender. That's a job
position.
Can you
imagine doing that job like this?
I've said this before on the show, but I can't say it enough. I am so pissed at my guidance counselor from school. There was no mention that any kind of a job like that existed or was possible.
Your system is broken.
I love seeing there's also a parallel in the cigar industry.
Yeah.
Because you get all these tobaccos and you have to blend that
and
down.
And every crop is different. You know, the soil is different and the flavors are different.
So when you're trying to create that same blend each time, no matter what.
And it's why, I'll be honest with you, there are some cigar companies that I've loved their blend in its early days. And then I'll go back and try one, you know, 10 years later, and it just doesn't hit me the same. And I've been thinking, well, maybe that's because my palate's changed. And, you know, but it also could be that it's just really hard to keep creating that same blend.
Could be a little of A and a little of B as well.
And even in consistency, there's going to be nuances. Like you can go grab, let's say, a bottle of Herradura from this season and one from a year ago, and they'll taste still. You can still taste a few differences in the bottle.
You say Herradura better than anybody. Way better than me. I've been stumbling through. I've tried
Herradura. Herradura.
I've tried saying it with the you know, with the rolling of the tongue. It doesn't really.
We tried this last time. We tried to learn together.
say it one more time for us.
Herradura.
It's just beautiful when you say
that. That is the language of love. All right, we are going to take a break and we'll be back for more Language of Love, only moments away from drinking news, and we're going to be trying Roberto's cocktail here pretty soon, which is, by the way, a tequila pizza cocktail, or that's apparently what he's
with strawberry banana smoothie.
All I'm gonna say that is gonna play homage to the boldness that Herradura talks about.
I can't wait.
Fair enough. We'll be back. Welcome back. It's Smoking and Toasting, our program all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars. My name is Cruz. Ian Barry is my co-host. Yo. And in the studio with us today, not only our engineering producer, Terry, but we also have Will Brooks, the global ambassador, the global brand ambassador for Herradura Tequila.
Global.
And, of course, our own cocktail expert, Mr. Roberto Rivas Villar, who has prepared a cocktail for us. And I would just say visually it looks a lot like the 512 IPA we tried earlier, but I don't think that's what it is. Roberto, what is this?
This does not smell like pizza at all.
Yeah, I just want to say my favorite part of this job is getting to meet next level amazing bartenders like Rob. They take art, put it in a glass, tell a story, and that's what this is all about. So and I'm excited for this.
The best part of that is that that's how our friendship started, because of that. So that thing brings people together.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really cool. I love hanging out at funky bars, like funky little bars, places where you can talk to the bartender, where they can tell you a little bit about what they're doing, where it's not so slammed that they've got to be, you know, taking care of stuff every second. And they can tell you a little bit about what it is they're making, what they put into it. That's fascinating to me. But we have our own cocktail expert who can explain it today.
Yeah. So we'll... And I, we do a lot of stuff together. We're great friends. We do videos together. I do work for him, too, for Herradura.
So you have an Instagram that you put up videos on. What's your Instagram?
It's going to be rob.thespiritbox. That's gonna
Rob the Spirit Box. That's a lot of fun because you talk about making drinks. You give your recipes.
I do a lot. We do a lot of insights, spirit reviews. I do experiments. Yeah. Will is always on my show. He's my favorite co-host to have. Well, he's my best friend, too, so...
But
that
also because
that's helpful.
But and also because he brings tequila. So.
Let's be real. That's why.
And it's Rob.
You think you got invited back to the show a second time, huh?
Yes, it's going to be Rob the Spirit Box. So I'm excited about this cocktail and a little bit scared now that we had that Voodoo Rangers segment.
This doesn't smell anything like pizza.
No, but
so if you milk the pizza for this, I'm not sure how you milk a pizza. It brings up weird visuals.
Almond milk.
I don't know, but I think Smooge has something to do with it. So,
so I wanted... I'm a little bit because against the wall because I went very adventurous with this and I did something.
This is... Can I talk about what I'm just getting on my nose for a minute?
Yeah, tell me.
Like you mentioned salinity, yes. It's got that salt kind of thing going on. And there's a fattiness to the nose that I'm
you guys,
getting.
You know, this is why I love hanging out with you guys, because you're right on the
like,
spot.
It's almost, like, it's a weird thing. Like, I don't know that I've ever smelled that in a drink, really.
So, I'm gonna tell you guys, and this is gonna be a very, like, it's part of my passion to where I'm from. You know how passionate I am about Monterey. So, I know Will really wanted to be passionate about this. I know, and it's Reposado, it's the 50th anniversary, and I want to do something special. And I decided, even though you gave me a bottle to do tests, I decided to do wild and just like, I didn't do a single test. And I grabbed half the bottle and I made a cocktail without even trying like any tests.
Is that what this is?
It's me doing something without doing what I usually do whenever I present a cocktail for an event. Mm-hmm. I didn't do any tests.
Okay.
But
so
what
this
I wanted
is
to do.
All in your head.
Yes.
You haven't even tried this yet?
No, I did try it, of course. But so in Monterrey, we eat a lot of cabrito. Have you ever heard about cabrito?
Mm-hmm. Sí.
So
goat.
I found a place. Well, I did a extensive search, and Chef over there at Wild helped me. I found a slaughterhouse here in Humboldt that sells cabrito. They have their own cabritos. They kill them there. Mm-hmm. And you can get the pieces. You can get a whole cabrito. So anyways, I contacted them, and they sold me cabrito fat.
Wow.
Really?
And I bought a big leg, too, that Chef is cooking right now. He's going to make it tamales, too, with the fat that I use and the tequila. Oh, and the, so,
Roberto, what time should we be there?
I got you guys.
For sure.
So I did a cabrito with achiote fat wash. I have I can actually share the videos. I took some videos when I was because this came like in big chunks of fat. So I cooked it with a little bit of onion.
Healthy.
And achiote. I did a fat wash, a ratio of 20% tequila. I mean, okay. Of the weight.
So I've taken the liberty of going ahead. Well, this
been
is
doing research.
This is not a long segment, so I didn't want to get to the end of it and be worried we wouldn't be able to taste.
Oh my God.
This is unique.
What is going
Never
on?
Never tasted anything like it.
This
and
is amazing.
I think it's wonderful. But it's both sweet and savory, almost a little bit of heat at the same time.
What I'm gonna do it really quick. What I wanted to represent is like you sitting down in Monterey eating cabrito, a little bit of tortilla. I don't know if you can get that tortilla element because they serve you the cabrito not in a taco. They just throw tortillas for you to just like
and
eat
you, you kind of eat them or make the taco yourself.
And I
right?
wanted to represent what you would be drinking, maybe some cocktail or something. That's where the pineapple roasted jalapeno. Cilantro syrup comes in, and some super juice.
This actually makes me hungry. We'll talk more about it when we come back, but we also will be doing a little thing called Drinking News, and that's coming up next. It is Smoking and Toasting, and this is the most unique cocktail I've ever tried, and it's delicious.
Salud. Cheers,
so
guys.
Salud. Cheers to
I
you.
I love the finish. Wow. I love how...
It was crazy that Ian right away, like, on the slide, like, I didn't know the fattiness.
Welcome back. It's Smoking and Toasting. Our show is all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars. We are joined in the studio today by two of our favorite guests. I think I can say that without making Docs jealous. Two of our favorite guests, Will Brooks, our global brand ambassador for Herradura Tequila, and, of course, our cocktail expert for Smoking and Toasting, Mr. Roberto Rivas Villar, who cooked up this cocktail.
This is
and just
outrageous.
before we do drinking news, yes, exactly. Mind blown. This is like nothing I've ever tasted. Ian mentioned just during the break, I totally share this sentiment. I'm not usually all that fond of drinks, whether it's beers or cocktails or spirit, that have heat in them.
Mm-hmm. It's just spicy heat. Yeah.
Spicy heat, yeah. But you got some spice in here and it just absolutely works. And this is one of those cocktails that if I came to your bar and you convinced me to order one, I would totally be ordering a second one when this is done.
I can't believe this is the first rendition. Like, talk about nailing it first
you
time.
You even said
Stop
you didn't. You, no, but you didn't really test this.
I really just said that because I think it was important to say that I wanted to be bold and wild and just like
whatever happens.
And you know, it was not a me trying to. You know what I mean?
This is really, really well done. And you used the Herradura Reposado? Is that what you used?
Reposado, yes.
And how much of this is tequila?
It's going to be your typical cocktail, about 2 ounces of tequila.
Mm-hmm.
And I used 1 ounce of super lime, which we know super lime already. We've talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be 1 ounce of the syrup that I made. That's as simple as that.
Mm.
And they, well... I know my shakes deliver about 2 ounces to 2.25 ounces of dilution, so that has a 2 ounce of water dilution.
Well, this is really a high point for the show, and drinking news is next, so it only goes downhill from here. But it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the segment that people ask us about, right? Usually right after they ask us about our sanity. It's a little thing we like to call drinking news.
Drinking news, drinking news. Now it's time for drinking news. A Florida man with one arm said he had a gator for a pet. When asked about his absent arm, he said,
I had to take my gator to the vet.
Drinking news. Drinking news. Now it's time for drinking news.
Cheers, y'all. Cheers. Well, for those of you Cheers. Who, those of you who've been with us on the program before and have lasted this deep into a show, know that Drinking News is...
Thank you, and we're sorry for you.
Yes. Drinking News is that part of the program where we bring you a story from the news, actually reported somewhere. It's not a parody story. This is actually reported in news media.
That freaking cocktail just keeps getting better.
I know. I'm still drinking it while I do Drinking News. It's so good. That's part of the thing about Drinking News is stories that are sometimes, but not always, about drinking, but are always best enjoyed if you've been drinking.
Have you guys ever thought about doing an ASMR show or something?
About what?
An ASMR show or something.
We should take that under advisement.
Yeah.
Royalties, please.
For today's drinking news, we seek to answer one of society's ancient questions. No, it's not about how did the ancient Egyptians build the pyramids, although... Aaron Rodgers is
with
convinced.
Really big bricks.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is convinced it was aliens from the planet Ayahuasca. it's not about Stonehenge or those crazy statues on Easter Island. It's not even about how the French think Jerry Lewis was funny or why NFL teams continue to pay Kirk Cousins to play football multiple millions of dollars. No, our question takes us back to the days of William Shakespeare and the
not
famous
William
question.
Shatner?
No, a little further than that. Back to William Shakespeare and the question that he asked in the literary classic Romeo and Juliet. The question is, what's in a name? Shakespeare believed that names themselves are a convention to distinguish things or people, but that in and of themselves, they do not have any worth or any meaning. If this is true, it would indicate that it doesn't really matter what your name is, but I would challenge that idea doesn't necessarily hold water. Based on my experience, from Johnny Cash's famous Boy Named Sue to former football great Dick Butkus to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you can probably come up with plenty of times when a person's name had a direct impact on their life and behavior, and also on how people perceived them. I mean, look at independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. If his name was Clyde Farquhar instead of Kennedy, I'm guessing he would have pretty much no traction at all instead of polling at about 5% in the latest research. Well, what makes today's drinking news story even more interesting, even though it details the report of a 42-year-old Wisconsin man.
Wisconsin man.
I like that you changed that up. Jeez. That worked for Wisconsin. Yeah. Yeah. A 42-year-old Wisconsin man who was arrested last week on misdemeanor counts of battery and disorderly conduct by the Green Bay Police Department. Now, officers allege that our Wisconsin man pushed and shoved his own daughter and tangled with her boyfriend at the East Walnut Street residence where the trio resides. According to the complaint, the man accused the daughter of failing to do small household chores and to care for their puppies. At one point, the cops allege the Wisconsin man, who was unencumbered by any kind of a shirt, pulled out a BB gun that resembled a pistol. And they also noted, and this will probably not surprise you, that he, quote, appeared to be highly intoxicated, end quote. Now, none of this was good. None of this was good, but what raises it, or perhaps lowers it, to the point where it qualifies as a story for drinking news, gets back to our whole question of what's in a name. Because the legal name
depends on what your definition of is.
This week's arrested Wisconsin man, D's Nuts Kroll.
Like on the driver's license.
Yep.
Wow.
Kroll.
No freaking way.
No one really pays attention at the DMV. Yeah. Just write whatever you want.
Well, Kroll, who was born with the first name of Derek, originally changed his name in 2011 to Des Nuts, according to court records. And then 6 years later...
Is that because he couldn't spell?
6 years later, he successfully petitioned to add an...
D-E-Z instead of D-E-E-Z.
6 years later, he successfully petitioned to add an E to his first name, making it D's Nuts.
You know he already has that tattooed on him somewhere, too, wrongly.
Yeah.
Imagine if he tells his girls to get a tattoo of that of his name.
In 2017, when trying to add the E to the name, he noted in a handwritten name change application, quote, It was not spelled right.
Yeah, it was not spelled right. I saw it on those can of nuts that they have at the store that they called and they realized.
He wasn't drunk either time, right?
No, of course not. No. You got to admire his dedication to the joke, yep. At least, right?
That was going to be his rapper name.
Yeah. While at the same time, at least understanding the ridiculousness
Lil D's nuts.
Of actually creating a situation where the judge in his hearing will have to hear him state his name for the record as... D's Nuts Kroll. And yet, as ridiculous as it is, it could possibly be worse. And so, as a public service to you, the listener, which we fully acknowledge that you have not actually asked for, here at Drinking News, we've prepared another of our widely ridiculed top five lists that suggests you might want to avoid changing your name to any of these. This would be the top five names. Some of them real, some of them fictional, that are more ridiculous than D's Nuts. Top five names that are more ridiculous than D's Nuts. Number five, Bart Simpson's favorite prank call name, IP Freely. Number four, former radio personality, Eddie the Boner Sanchez. Number three, and I swear this
trombone.
One's true. I swear this one's true. Number three. Former Congressman Dick Sweat. S-W-E-T-T.
Wow.
No freaking way.
Yeah.
You can't
number,
write it.
Number two, an actual defendant on the TV show People's Court who was named Crystal Methven. And the number one name more provocative than D's Nuts. Number one, the all-time classic Haywood Jablomi.
Wait. I've got a real one to toss in there. That's brilliant. But I got a real one. What about, like, there was an actual NASCAR driver, Dick Trickle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I did see that.
We all know.
Yeah, when I was looking for names.
And you know when you write your last name and then your first name on, like, an official document, you do it backwards?
Yeah.
Now he's Trickle.
Yeah. Reporting live from Green Bay. My name is D's Nuts McGee, and that is your
Drinking News. Drinking cheers, News. Cheers. That's our time for Drinking News.
Cheers, y'all.
Hey, would you blow me?
It would be pretty cool in a certain twisted way.
I have been
to be
smelling
named D's
this
Nuts.
Beer since I poured it, and holy
that's what I was telling you.
Oh, it smells so good.
I've just been like, you know, working on sipping this cocktail. But this beer is a special one. It's from Hubbard's Cave, and I don't remember
a big one.
I don't remember exactly what the price was. I've been like hoarding this one for a while, but I do remember it wasn't cheap.
Oh my God!
You tried already?
Yeah,
tastes fancy.
Yes. Wait for it. Now you're taking a sip.
Oh, so I'm getting
wait. Now,
raspberry bump.
Oh my gosh!
So I'm getting marshmallow and coffee on the nose. Mm-hmm.
This
and raspberry
and the marshmallow and the taste too.
Unbelievable.
So whenever you said wait and then I said raspberries and now is the marshmallow freaking bum now.
Right. Raspberries comes a few
and
seconds after.
Dude, it keeps going.
And I got coffee just now.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, it starts off with like dark chocolate, rolls into raspberry, moves into marshmallow.
Yeah.
It's just swimming through these flavors, right?
It's insane.
Do you know when you go to a restaurant and they bring the platter of desserts out and they're like, which one do you want? Right. It's like all of them are in this bottle.
And it's kind of like all of them are in here.
Yeah.
So, can you imagine the brewmaster?
There's a powdered sugar and a pastry kind of note on the very end of it as well. It's just,
can you imagine the brewmaster bringing the first bottle into the owner's office?
Damn.
We're gonna have to bottle this.
Yeah, and going. Okay, I got something for you.
Then I'm gonna.
First of all, here's my contract for another couple of years, and
I'm gonna need a raise.
I'm gonna need an equity in this company, please.
And, and then the owner's like, well, you know, we can't do that. Times are tough. And we're like, oh my God, how much do you want?
There's a little bit of the. I'm gonna say this. It's gonna sound funny, but the Oreo stuffing.
Yes.
Oh, you mean like the cream filling?
Cream filling.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that going on, and it's way, way in there.
It's in line with the marshmallow thing.
Yeah.
Remember when Oreos did that whole advertising campaign that the way to eat an Oreo was to twist one side off and then basically scrape the filling off with your teeth and then you eat the cookies?
Yeah. That's
that makes
sense. I remember that, but no, we don't eat them that way.
Yeah, no, I don't either, but that's the flavor you're that's talking about. That's how it goes.
I think what's amazing to me is you look at the name of the brew, and the hardest part was which flavor did we put on the bottle? They went with chocolate and raspberry.
Yeah, chocolate and raspberry because so they hit like, the very first two things.
Right, they are the first two big flavors when you...
There's a
man.
What is there? Something on the very end of that, too, that's just... It's so incredibly... Like, this has so many layers of stuff.
Wow.
What's the ABV on it?
Does it even say?
It doesn't have a lot of information on here.
Mm-hmm.
And also, what was the price point on this beer?
I don't... I've had it for a little while. I don't remember exactly.
It's 13%.
I remember that it was not cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
13%. It does say right here on the side that according to Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk.
You hear that, Will?
What is the name of it again? Ian, I'm going to look
Surgeon
and see
General,
if I can find
the price. The KFC guy, right?
Hubbard's Cave, yeah. Barrel-aged chocolate and raspberry pot de creme.
That's the KFC
guy. Or pot de creamy if you're from around here.
Okay. Founded on Beer Advocate.
It's this is so outrageous. What did they rate it on Beer Advocate?
Believe it or not, it's not rated.
Oh. Well, let's give it to them.
Yes.
This is like so good.
I just don't love dessert stuff that often in my drink, but this is something I could. And it's a lot. This is not like, don't go buy this thinking you're getting a light dessert. This is as full as a dessert as it gets.
Like you mentioned, they bring the tray and you go, all of them?
I would drink this floating on a river.
Like, I feel...
In fact, I feel like you're going to keep the bottle and drink it going on to work.
I feel like it's so rich and dessert style that bottle I don't think I would drink more than five people.
Yeah. This is perfect for splitting between like
right
us.
Yeah
imagine this in a night cigar, that beer, maduro, or a super
proposed pairing. You could almost have any cigar with this.
Yeah, that's true.
I would exclude maybe an LFD Double Ajero would probably be a little.
I would actually like a Corojo with this one because of the saltiness.
I was just about to say,
like a nub Corojo or something like
that. Aladino.
Aladino. Oh, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Honduran tobacco flavor with this.
That earthy very, very Honduran-ness.
Nice. All right, we could talk about this forever. We'll be back in Smoking and Toasting. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Smoking and Toasting. It's show number 372. We've had a good time today. Will Brooks on the program, Roberto Rivas-Villar on the program. And I just want to point out, virtually, with the exception of maybe the smooge, the mystery,
it's
the
so
beverage.
Funny every time
every
you say
time.
It.
I know. That's why I said it. I could have just said the beverage of mystery,
every
but
time.
That's not as funny as smooge. with the exception of that, though, everything we've tasted on the show, we've gone, oh, wow.
Like, everything's been exceptional.
Like from the IPA to this cocktail, which is the most like unique
amazing.
And different
amazing
cocktail we've had. And finally, of course, the Herradura tequila. But finally getting to this this barrel-aged stout that's just
beautiful.
So outrageous. It's like a poetry in a bottle. I don't even know how to describe it. It's so good.
I always think whenever Roberto's coming on, like, I'm going to learn about a new cocktail that I can make at home. It's going to be awesome. And then he proceeds to make the most difficult cocktail that you could ever make.
I can see Terry on Google going, where do I buy goat fat?
Baby goat fat, actually.
Because Cabrito's a baby goat, right?
Baby goat fat and the sous vide.
Yeah. Pretty soon there's
he's
going to
be led to
door.
A whole satanic cult. And stuff. Yeah.
Pretty soon there's a knock on your door. Sir, we just need to see if your kids are okay. Yeah.
So, figure out how to milk a pizza.
So, Will, I am just so impressed with these Reposado tequilas because, so as I said earlier in the show, I really am an añejo guy. I almost always, when I go to the tequila aisle and go, okay, I'm going to buy something, it's almost always an añejo. And part of the reason is because I just really like that añejo, the way the añejo flavors build after that aging. But you brought us two reposados today, both of which have got just fantastic flavor complexity to them. I'm, you know, realizing I need to buy some reposados too.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could take credit for the spirit. They're incredible, right? They're just amazing. But it's been so nice to celebrate the 50th anniversary of bringing the world the reposado with all of you. And I wanted to give you guys a little bottle each, and you'll notice on there, there's something special.
Look at this.
There Hell
we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, dude, this has got the Smoking and Toasting logo on it.
Oh, wow.
All right. So that looks so good on the bottle that we now have to talk about getting a barrel for Smoking and Toasting.
Done.
That we can, you know, maybe work with a retailer to try and sell it. That is, thank you so much.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Not only, I mean, I'd be happy if it was just a bottle of the juice.
But he went that extra step.
Standing, yeah. Wow. Thank you so much. Tell me about.
I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, I see the tears forming there. Tell me just a little bit about the rest of the Herradura line. You've obviously got the silver.
Yep, we got our Blanco.
And that is around what price retail?
We're going to be our mid-30s there.
Okay.
Yep.
And you mentioned that this is kind of like high 30s, low 40s.
Yep.
For the Reposado. And what about your Añejo?
Couple bucks more. You got the Añejo.
See, that's why I always buy the Añejo, because it's usually
range.
It's usually just a couple of bucks more
so
in
just
most
in the
cases.
40s, under 50?
Yeah, under 50.
And do you offer an Añejo extra?
We do. We actually brought the world the very first extra Añejo. So both the first Reposado and the first extra Añejo came from this distillery.
Wow.
So the first Reposado, because someone was like, oh, I forgot about that barrel.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
totally.
I mean, I have an experiment going over here, boss.
Oops. Love that.
Happy little accidents, right?
Absolutely do. I love that. Where is the Herradura distillery?
So we're in a little tiny town called Amatitan, and this is a small town with a big story. It's actually the birthplace of all tequila. So the very first tequila distillation occurred in Amatitan, and that is where our distillery has been for just over 150 years.
And how often do you go there?
I'm very fortunate to get to visit a couple times a year.
That's amazing. I love that too. And I always thought that would be one of the coolest things about working for like a rum company or a tequila company is the place the spirits come from. You're not going to Kentucky. I mean, no offense, Kentucky, but it's not really all that exciting. But when you're going to the Caribbean islands or when you're going to
Kentucky, Kentucky's neat. The distilleries are fun.
Yeah.
When you're going, like, you're talking about, that's a lot. That's a lot different.
And they receive you with the meals and with the table served. And it's like, it's a whole other experience. Right? Yes.
Love it. Can people, visit the distillery if they're headed to Mexico?
Yeah, if they're in there, they can. You just call ahead, see what's available, and see if we can get you in there.
Mm. That's Roberto, where can people find you making drinks?
I work for Wild. We're a coffee shop, bar, dispensary. I bartend a couple days a week. I mostly spend my time doing my content with my amazing friends.
And tell us again where to find you on Instagram.
Rob.thespiritbox.
Rob.thespiritbox.
If you guys you can contact me there. Tell me where I'm working, or I can go work for you.
All right. I love it.
Places.
Maybe you can work for us.
Hire. Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here for this show today. This has been a really fun one. Ian, always a pleasure to see you. And thanks, you guys, for the wonderful drinks and the tequila. And thanks to Adam and the Sky for putting this all together in post. Have a great week, my friends. We'll see you next week for Smoking and Toasting. And cheers, y'all.
Cheers.
Cheers. Your smile, lonely, still the lonely, yeah. Ditch that guy.